Hello, and welcome once again to Mount Carmel Baptist Church Online. We are certain you will be blessed by the preaching and teaching you hear today. Please return and listen again, as sermons will be updated regularly. Thank you, and may God bless you.
God truly is amazing, and amazing is our God. Amen. Let me encourage you not to be in a hurry. We always seem to be rushing from here to there. I'm not sure why we rush so much, what we're trying to do. Everybody has the same amount of time. Amen. And we all have to choose what we're going to do with that time. Amen. And rushing to a television is not the best use of your time. Amen. Rushing to go do something that's not going to be beneficial to your life is not the best use of your time. Amen. And so you ought to ask God, what's the best use of my time? Where do you want me at? What should I be doing? And guess what? Feeding your soul is a good use of your time. I'm happy about that. Amen. I already had my meditation this morning. I had my private worship. It's part of my daily ritual that I've established. Amen. And I do that because I refuse to let the world direct me. Amen. I want to be in direction of my life. I want the Lord to be the head of my life. And I want to be purposeful in my direction and in my movement throughout the day. And I feel like if I spend 10 or 15 minutes with the Lord each day, before the day begins, that God will be purposeful in guiding me where God would have me to be. I encourage you to take that as a daily habit, a practice, even a ritual. From that ritual, you'll find strength and you'll find faith. Turn with me to Genesis. I'm in Genesis 12. Amen. I was wrestling with this word. I started to skip over it and go to Abraham's great sacrifice, but it kept pulling me back. And so I took it that the Lord wanted me to say something about it and to share what he had shared with me, with you. So I'm absolutely convinced that there's somebody here that God has this for. In Genesis 12, in verse number 10, it says, "Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to reside there as an alien." For the famine was severe in the land. And when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know well that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared on your account." When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw the woman was very beautiful. And when the officers of Pharaoh saw her, when the officials of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt with Abram. And I've always kind of missed this when I read this story in the past. I want you to see this here. And for her sake, he dealt with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, males and female slaves, and female donkeys, and camels. In other words, he gave him a whole lot of money. Amen. And this would be the foundation of Abram's riches. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh. That doesn't sound fair. And his house with a great plague because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you tell me that she was your wife?" And of course, that was a half-truth, yes? Well, I'll tell you in the sermon, some of you don't know. "Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and be gone. In other words, get all your stuff and everybody that came in here with you. Amen. That's the Kimbrough translation. Amen. And Pharaoh gave his men orders concerning him, and they sent him on his way with his wife and all that he had. Bless now this word as we share it in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor, introduce the central theme of this word by saying, from disappointment to deliverance. And that's what I want to talk about, from disappointment to deliverance. Amen. Thank you, Music Ministry, for coming over the other night. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's such a blessing. Amen. From disappointment to deliverance. The context of the text comes from the narrative which we have been walking through in the celebration of Abram's life and Abram's faith. Abram, you recall, had great faith to follow the call of God. Recall in the first three verses of this chapter, we are told that Abram, God said to him, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and bless your name and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so we recall that Abram was blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And I affirm and believe that that's exactly what God does in our lives, that God blesses us to be a blessing. You've heard me say in the past that everything that God gives you is not for you. And if God can get it through you, he will give it to you. And so some stuff we hold on to tightly. Amen. No, amen. I'm talking about simple things, sometimes books and clothes and stuff that turns into clutter. It really wasn't meant for you. You were to pass it on. Say, pass it on. But because our stuff makes us warm and we like having stuff all around us, we are less likely to pass things on, always saying, I'll use that later. Well, later never quite gets here. And then when you go home to the Lord, a few souls are sitting in your house, amen, going through the stuff. I know what I'm talking about because I've been in homes where people have passed and come by and the families are sitting there trying to decide where this goes. Oh, it's quiet up in here, and where that goes. Why don't you do that while you're living? No, you missed that. I said, why don't you do that while you're living? If it can bless somebody, don't wait till you die. Go on and pass it on to somebody. If you know it can be a blessing, why put that burden on your people? And now you got, like I got, stuff from your mama and your daddy that they had for 50 years, and now it's sitting up in your house. Be quiet, Reverend, move on. But if it can be a blessing to somebody, pass it on. Well, just as soon as we get comfortable with the green grass growing for and around Abram, this great man of faith, we are told, who walks in faithfulness, just when we think we can put our weight down in his faithfulness, we are told that a challenge arises. The challenge is that there is a famine in the land. And surely, being the great faith giant that Abraham is, he would know how to handle a famine. He would know how to handle a challenge like this. And so we're told that a famine arises in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. In other words, it was not his intention to dwell there long. He hadn't planned to build a house or anything. He was just kind of passing through. So he took his tent and his peoples, and they went down into Egypt. And I don't have time to break down the historical advantages that Egypt had with their four growing seasons, and the Nile River would overflow. And so they were abundant in grain and food, and that's how they became one of the world powers. And you notice that in the Bible, whenever there's a famine, people seem to make their way to Egypt, because Egypt always seems to have plenty of food. Now the famine arose, and so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn, meaning he was just going to be there for a little while. For the famine, was severe in the land. Now on his way down to Egypt, he looked over at his wife. She hadn't gotten so old where she still didn't catch his eye. He's walking along, and he said, oh, my God, I got a problem here. Look at this woman. Look at this woman. Lord, have mercy. Look at this woman. And if they see her, Lord, where'd you come from? Amen. Why you got to be so pretty? Now, he wasn't complaining before, but now the situation had changed. And so he looks at her, and all of a sudden it becomes a problem. And he says, well, wait a minute now. When we go down here, we got to get our stories straight. We got to make sure that we are in agreement with what we're saying. I can't be saying one thing and you're saying another. It's kind of like when couples come to see the pastor, they always get their stories straight before they come in the office. It's, now, this is what we're going to say. Don't you say nothing about that. If you say something about that, all bets are off. Oh, you need to say amen, Pastor. I understand. And so he says to her, now, when you go down here, they're going to see you, and they're going to kill me because of you. Now, I'm talking about the man of faith who, but a few verses earlier, was willing to leave everything and trust and follow God. But now the problem has arisen. What's the problem? The famine. And he's got to go down to Egypt. He takes his wife, and he says, on the way down there, by the way, if you love me, now, if you love me, you will say that you're my sister, that we may go, it may go well with you and me, because my, so that my life may be spared. You and I do realize that it can happen in a moment. A bad decision, it seems like a good decision. An action that we take in a moment of fear, and a fearful decision will cause us to do all kinds of things. It may sound prudent, it may sound practical in our minds, and if we run it through our minds long enough, after a while, we'll convince ourselves that it's the only way that it's going to work out. And we will see that Abram and also Sarah have a propensity for this. This is a man of faith. Perhaps he should have had a conversation with God. We're not given any indication that God told him to go to Egypt. Somewhere along the way, he decided that I need to go to Egypt. I don't read where he prayed and said, Lord, which way shall I go? Where shall I find food? No, he just goes to Egypt. So the hint of the text is that he is not walking in the will of God. This is a man of faith who's walking. And you have to be careful, because even as a person of faith, when challenges happen, amen, it's easy to get off the pathway trying to address the challenge or trying to fix the challenge or, in our minds, trying to survive. So in a moment, this decision leads to a tremendous failure in his life. It can happen when things are not going your way. And if we're not careful, failure will invade us. And when it invades us, we realize that we're not as holy as we thought we were. Because you came to church last week and you had a high moment and you were shouting and praising God and running up and down the aisles and the Holy Spirit was all over you. And then when you get out of here on Monday and Tuesday, you're placed in some precarious situations. And the temptation is to cast your faith along the side and simply use your ingenuity to solve your problem. You still with me? This is what happened to Adam and Eve, and they had a collision with a piece of fruit. This is what happened when Cain killed his brother and Noah got drunk. They figured that they could fix the problem. And in trying to fix the problem, they were not walking with God or towards God. They were walking away from God. And that's a sure sign that you are making a decision out of fear and not faith. When the decision is leading you away from God, that's a sure sign that you are operating out of your fear-based flesh nature as opposed to your faith-based nature, that you're hungering and thirsting after. And so your nature is not necessarily to be faithful. Your nature is to pull you away from being faithful. And that's why we ought to celebrate when we pass the test. Tell your neighbor, when you pass the test. Oh, the test will come. Your nature is to fail the test. But every once in a while, God will give you the insight and the wisdom and the spiritual discipline whereby you will call upon faith. And you say, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I don't know how, but I'm going to trust him. And so he should have moved in faith, but instead he moved in fear. And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But when you don't have it and you can't see it, your fear kicks in and you start saying, how am I going to get it? As opposed to faith that says, God will lead me to it. God will provide it. God will help me to see what God would have me to do. And this faith I'm talking about leads us to joy. There's no joy in fear. I said there's no joy in fear. You might as well say amen. There's no, y'all want me to stop? Y'all look so sleepy. Yeah. There's no joy in fear. Joy comes when you've been faithful. You had never gotten happy when you had a trial or a trouble and you have gotten the victory. And when you've come to the other side, you say, oh my God, I'm better than I thought I was. Thank you, Jesus. That's where your joy comes from. Every little successful step brings you joy. And that's why James says, count it all. That's why James says, count it all joy. Because every step, every nuance, every challenge, every famine is an opportunity to demonstrate faith, which will produce joy. Somebody say, you ought to be happy. Oh, you ought to be happy, because when you have faith's victories, it makes you happy in the Lord. Well, let me move forward. So Abraham figures out this scheme, and the land, the famine has come, and he figures this scheme. I'll go down to Egypt. Sarah will be my sister. And when he gets there, sure enough, exactly what he predicted happens. The Egyptians saw her. And I wish I had a picture of Sarah. I should have checked. How old was Abraham when the Lord called Abraham? He was how old when he tried to have a baby? Anybody remember? He was 75 when they called him, right? Because he was up to, how old was he when they went to have a baby? 90? So that means Sarah, I'm thinking, may have been in her 70s by the time when he first called him. 65? Oh, shut up now. And I'm going somewhere, women. Y'all need to help me now. Don't let nobody mess with you. Talking about you don't look like you used to look. Tell them I look better than I used to look. I just hit 60, baby. What are you talking about? I'm the best. And it wasn't no young woman. She wasn't 23. That's what I'm trying to make the point. Thank you. Thank you, Paulette. I'm trying to make the point that she was old enough to be all grown up. And somehow, when the Egyptians saw her, they said, my God. You 61? Yeah, tell your neighbor, it's all right. I'm in a text, it's all right. Don't let nobody mess with you. Amen, amen. Well, we told that she was beautiful, and sure enough, they brought her over to Pharaoh. And to Pharaoh's credit, Pharaoh did not commit the sin of David. See, David said, who's that, Bathsheba? Tell her to come here. And she had a husband named Uriah. He sent Uriah and killed Uriah. You all remember that? I'll preach that again another time. But he Pharaoh said, no, I'm going to do what's right. And so since that's your sister and she's caught my eye and it's appropriate, this is the way we do things, give him some wealth. Mm-hmm. Give him cattle and herds and this and that. And so, in other words, he enriched him so that there would be no nuance of being taken advantage of. Pharaoh was not trying to take advantage of him. And so Pharaoh's trying to be just. Pharaoh's trying to be a person of integrity. And he brings Sarah into his, what do they call those things where you have a whole lot of women? Harems. I'm glad you're helping me. He brought her into his harem. See, I don't know nothing about that. My wife won't have nothing like that, so I don't know nothing about that. I'm trying to live, mess around playing with my life like that. No, a harem. And so he brought her into the harem. It was to be an honorable exchange. You still with me? All right. Everything seems to be going the way Abraham planned, but what's behind this story that we forget is that for the promise to be fulfilled, you need Sarah. You missed that. Can't be no baby by Abraham by himself. Mm-hmm. And we forget how important Sarah is in the promise. Now, Abram can have a child with somebody else. I'm not arguing that he can't, because we know this happens. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, some biblical scholars argue that Hagar, who becomes Sarah's handmaiden, was in the bounty that Pharaoh gave to Abraham. You ever wonder, where did Hagar come from? Because she was an Egyptian. You with me? So here, some biblical scholars argue that here is where Hagar is interjected, although her name is not in the text. But when he is enriched in this illicit exchange, now has set loose a series of consequences that will affect the journey of faith for generations yet to come. You still with me? Kevin, one bad family, one bad decision in your family can influence your great-grandchildren. That's a lot of pressure to live with, isn't it? One poor decision can influence the life of your children and your children's children. It's good that it's quiet, because I want you to think about that. That's why you have to be careful. Say, be careful. Particularly with children. Because things happen to children by poor decisions of their adults in their lives that they carry with them, not only for their lifetime, but they inherently, unintentionally pass it on to their children. Shall I be plain? You know some families of three generations of drinkers. You might as well say amen. It's just in the family. They can't seem to get it out because somebody a long time ago set it in the family, and the children and the children's children were taught, this is what we do. Tell your neighbor, somebody's got to break that. And for it to stop, somebody has to have the courage to say, I'm not going that way. You can't do that in fear. You can only do it in faith. Say faith. I've got to run on. So Abraham works the deal. And the deal is made. And yet, his lack of faith, and this is what gets me. How could he be so faithful and then be so unfaithful? And I know some of the smart Bible students will say, well, you know, Pastor, he really didn't lie because she was his half-sister. And because it was a half-sister, then, you know, he didn't lie. Well, he manipulates the truth to serve his own means. If that ain't a lie, I don't know what is. In other words, he tells just enough to get what he wants. Know anybody like that? And when you press them, they say, well, it's not that I didn't tell. I just didn't mention anything about that. Isn't it terrible when somebody breaks your trust and you got to interrogate them with every little detail instead of being like the prodigal son who comes home and says, Father, I have sinned. No, you didn't like that. You didn't like that. And I have sinned. When you sin, don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover it up. Don't tell half of the sin. You can't go to God, well, God, I did a little bit. Well, you did a little bit, but I've seen all of it. I'm giving you an opportunity to fess up. I'm giving you an opportunity to come clean. I'm giving you an opportunity to get off your heart and your soul so you can go forward. One of the worst things in the world is to start repairing a relationship, and because you haven't fessed up, the stuff keeps coming up. And stuff keeps leaking out. That's why I'm not a liar, because I would never be a good liar. Some people here are good liars. I get quiet, oh my God. I mean, not you. I'm talking about the other person. I'm not talking about you. I didn't call you a liar. I said the other person. Somebody understands what I'm talking about. There are some people, they can lie so good. They have you believing you crazy. Oh, God. I mean, they practice lying. They wake up in the morning lying. Have breakfast lying. They think the only way to live is to lie your way through. See, the reason I can't be a good liar, because stuff just leaks out of me. I forget the lie I told last week. But see, the professionals, they got a record. And when in doubt, just tell another lie. Oh, I better move on. I'm getting... Well, Abram has caused a problem. Abram has placed God in an awkward position. What are you talking about, Pastor? Abram, the man of faith, has placed God in an awkward position. Now, I done made a covenant with you. I done told you I'm going to bless you. Don't you think in that covenant a blessing would have been food on your table? And a roof over your head? But instead of trusting me, you went down to Egypt. And you had more trust in Pharaoh. Oh, that's good, Reverend. Than you had in me. I told you I would bless you. And I bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And by you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And now you have placed me in this awkward position because I've got to figure out how to bless you. And at the same time, keep and be concerned about Pharaoh. Oh, you missed that. You missed that. This is an awkward position. You have went and sold your wife into slavery. There's a history coming. And now I got to deliver you. And I've got to deliver her. Now I'm going to deliver you. My plan was to teach you later that I was a deliverer. You don't see the correlation yet, do you? See, you do realize that what Abraham did, Israel will do. That a land, a famine would come, and Israel would go down to Egypt. And down in Egypt, God would bless them. And when God blessed them, they would prosper. And then a Pharaoh would rise up that knew not Joseph. And they would find themselves in bondage. And then God would have to send Moses to deliver the people. Watch this. Everything that Israel would go through, Abraham went through. You missed that. And the reason is that God had to show Abraham first that I am a deliverer. How did Joseph get in slavery? His brother sold him. How did Sarah get in slavery? Her husband sold her. How did Abraham get down there? He went down there because he was hungry. All evidence of the lack of faith of the God of the Bible. If they had simply been still. When you're facing challenges, tell your neighbor, be still. You missed it. Be still. But the Bible says, be still and know that I am the Lord your God. This is what it's saying. Being still does not mean not moving. Write this down. This will bless you. Being still means be at peace. Be still. Be at peace. Know that I have you and I've got you covered from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Don't run to drugs. Don't run to alcohol. Don't run to illicit behavior. Be still and know that I am the Lord your God. Tell your neighbor he's the deliverer. No, tell your neighbor he's the deliverer. Have you ever got yourself in some stuff? I know it's easy when we can blame it on somebody else and say if it had not been for you, I wouldn't be in this mess. If they had treated me better on the job, I wouldn't be in this mess. If they had treated me better in my family, yeah, I wouldn't be in this mess. But what do you do when it's you? And there's nobody to blame but you. What do you do when you're Abraham and you're the one who told the half-truth? You're the one who set up the stuff that you find yourself in. And God wants you to know that I can deliver you from your mess. Oh, you should have been shouting there. I'm not going to shout because y'all look tired. I ain't messing with y'all. I'm coming on out of here. Tell your neighbor, he's a deliverer. No, he's a deliverer. As soon as I learned that God could deliver me from my mistakes, I could sleep better at night. You know why? Because I learned I'm not going to go through life without making some mistakes. I know we like to believe we're going to always do the right thing, but sometimes you don't. You convince yourself it's the right thing, but you know it's not. And then God says, I am a deliverer. What happened? Go get Abraham. The God came to Pharaoh and said, don't touch that woman. That woman ain't his sister. That woman is his wife. He's getting ready to mess you up. Well, go get Abraham. Bring him down here. Why have you done this to me? Why have you done this evil thing to me? Huh? And the evidence was God sent a plague. And that's how they recognized that something was wrong. See, we're going to see this later in the story, right? Right? God sent a sign. Something is wrong. And I have to admit, I like Pharaoh in this incident. Pharaoh was a person of integrity. He was trying to do the right thing. Abraham was messing up. And I don't blame Pharaoh. He said, come down here and get all your stuff. Everything that you brought with you and this woman. Pack up and get out. Well, I got some of your cattle. Take that with you. I don't even want what I gave you back. Just keep it. Go on. All right, I'm through, but let me tell you this. There's some stuff in your house right now, and it has value, but it's not a blessing. Okay, let me try again. There's stuff in your house right now. It has value, but it's not a blessing. I'll give you a simple example, and I'll move on. You got a gold chain, okay? An old girlfriend gave it to you. Oh, y'all got that fast. I'm a better teacher than I thought. You got a gold chain. An old girlfriend gave it to you. And now the woman you're with now, talk to me, somebody. She asks you, where'd you get that chain from? And now you got to come up with a story. Just a little something I picked up. You don't want to fess up because you know if you tell her so-and-so gave me this chain, she's like, well, why are you still holding on? But the reason you're still holding on, because you say, oh, it has value. But the real reason is you like to just rub it up against your face every once in a while. You know, oh, this is so nice. It has value, but it has no blessing. Guess what? That's holding a blessing back for you. Because it's holding you back. Tell your neighbor, you gotta let it go. Let it go. Go home, get the chain, and bless somebody with it. Just say, here, here's a chain for you. Just go on here. Just, oh, this is so nice. Yes, it is. Take it away. Just take it, take it, take it. And see how the value of the chain changed? Where'd you get chain? Oh, so-and-so gave me that chain. Oh, it's so wonderful. Now, they can wear it and just be as happy and as blessed in the chain. I tell you, there's some stuff in your house. It has value, but it's no blessing. And you've been holding on to it. You need to go home and get rid of it so you can move forward. Say forward. Come on and stand. My time is up. I don't know what it is for you, but I hear God saying, go home. You think it has value. It doesn't have no value. You can take it to the pawn shop. Give it to them. Do something with it. I don't know. Give it to somebody. Do something with it. Open up that space in your heart and your mind. Free yourself. Tell your neighbor, free yourself. Let go of the past. Tell your neighbor, let go of the past. Time to move on. Time to move on. God wants to bless you. It's time to move on. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless the name of Jesus. We open the doors of church. If you're not here, if you're here today and you're holding on to your yesterday, come on, it's time to move on.